And but right now we want to go back and look into, we're studying, trying to finish up methods of understanding the scriptures. And last week we were in Luke 16. I want to go back there, and the reason for that, because I need to explain a little further. I don't know if you do this or not, but whenever time I teach it, I have a hard time during the next morning. I don't spend time a lot of, when I go to bed at night. I used to, I try, and I pray, but I'm so tired at night, it bothers me when I go to sleep while I'm praying. Now, if I can't go to sleep, it's good to pray to go to sleep. But you're not, when you're tired and you go to sleep praying, you're not doing much praying and really in contact with God. So if I go to sleep, I just go to sleep, but I wake up by 3, 4, sometime around 4:30 in the morning time. And that's when I really get along with the Lord and try my best to empty my mind. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but this past Thursday morning, this chapter 16 bothered me because I could not get it across that I thought I saw anyone understood it. And because of what Jesus said, it looks like he contradicted himself. And by the way, the world would say he contradicted himself, what he told about this unjust steward. And I'm going to show you how the Lord, I really believe the Lord works at times. But I've been in this thing 53 years now. And I try to start out in the morning, Lord, I want to just empty my mind. And all I want in my mind is the scriptures. I've learned a lot of scriptures through the years and memorized them, but I just want scriptures. And I want to empty my mind of everything so my free thought can be around scripture and what it is you want to fill my mind full. And then I ask the question, well, this right here is really bothering me. Because when you get down to verse 8 and 9, and you see what the Lord said about this unjust steward. Let me go read in this half prayer first. Father, Lord, open our hearts to understand these truths. And this book is a precious book to us. It's the Word of God. We desire to hide it in our heart. We desire to understand it. And when we do, then the average person in this world will not understand it, because most people are not seeking to want to know what God wants. It's easy to say that. But if a person really wants to know what God wants, their life changes. They don't have trouble with the things that God says we're to be doing or not doing, on average. And so we just pray that you'd help us as we take this Wednesday night after Wednesday night and each service in our church, that the subject will be that which in turn help us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and see our life in retrospect of what God has done, so we can see that the future is even brighter because he's always with us in everything as long as he's centered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we got back, we looked at unjust steward and so forth. What he did something wrong. Jesus not commending him for the wrong he did. He misused his master's funds. We don't know what he did, but we just know the scripture teaches us that he wasted his goods in verse 1. And then he came back, and I'm kind of deviating a little bit tonight, but I think I need to, because this is a tremendous thing. Here's something hard to understand. I want you to grasp it and show how God can help you understand it in your life, because unless you know how to look back and experience some things and see this happening, you'll never really understand it. And he goes on, and he said, for that, he fired him. He let him go. And this man, now he says, what am I going to do? He said, I can't dig. He's not up to that. He said, I'm too ashamed to beg. What am I going to do? And the first thing that happened was he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to all the people that owes my master things where I've dealt with. And I'm going to do my best to get him some back. Because his master didn't think he'd ever get it. It's gone. It's sunk. It's down. And so he goes back and he just gives us two. I'm sure there's more, but he shows the pattern he did. He said in verse 4, I resolved to do that when I am put out of their stewardship, that they may receive me into their house. You know, I mean, put out of the stewardship of my master, but these people may receive me in their house. In other words, they affected them, and they could not pay. They could not pay what they owed this master. And he said, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go back to them, and I'm going to give them a deal so that when this is over with, they'll receive me. And so right here, he goes on. He said, I resolved to do that. And he said, verse 5, so he called every one of them together, and the debtors had they owed, and he gave us one. Verse 6, and he said, 100 measures. He said, first of all, how much owest thou to my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Just cut it in half and be satisfied. Now, you think that the fellow who was his master would be upset for that. But you got to understand, he didn't think he was going to get anything. He thought it was gone. So he went to the next one. He said unto him, about, said to another, and how much thou was. He said unto him, 100 measures of wheat. Now notice he didn't do the same with each, but each one had a bargain depending on what it was. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So that meant he got 80% of that and 20% he lost. Now, after he got through this, so the Lord commended him, the unjust spirit. Now, folks, listen. He had treated the Lord, his master, terrible, unjust, made him lose a lot of money. But now he commends him for what he did, not because he made him lose the money. The word commend here means to mention as worthy of attention. What he did was worthy of attention for the one who fired him to mention to him. And he says to the unjust spirit, because he had done wisely. He did this, why? Because he recognized his unjust spirit had done wisely towards him. Even though he'd done him wrong, he helped get part of his finances back. He said, for the children of this, and now this is the key, for the children of this world, that's ungodly generation, that's those who are not saved, for the children of the world are in their generation more wiser than the children of light. It should not be that way. The children of light, go into Scripture anywhere and you find they're the children of God. They're the children of light because he's the light of the world and we allow him to show through us and we are lights of the world. And he said that he commended this man because he said, then, did you know the world was more wiser than the children of light? Watch. And then he said in verse 9, and I say unto you now, because Jesus said that, he said, I'm saying this to you, the rest of you. He said, notice, make to yourself friends of the mammon. That has to do with the world. Make yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Then he goes on some other things to say, he that is faithful, that is which. And he said, you know, if you're faithful the least, you will be faithful much. He goes forth, and how can someone trust you if you can't be faithful in things in the world? How can a person trust you on a private situation? He goes on and he said, if you have been faithful in that which is another man's, if you have not been faithful, that's another man, who should give you that which is your own? In verse 12, and then he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He had that in a number of places. Now, I want to go back at 8, verse 8 and 9 again and show you. And what came to my mind? My mind began to just flow, and suddenly I got up and started writing. And God took me back the day I got saved. In my mind, I went back. And he was saying, and not words, but you've got to understand, if you had the Word of God in your heart, how God speaks to you through the Word. It'll come to your mind about anything. If you know enough Bible and something comes out that you need something to use, God will bring verses of Scripture to your mind that will answer those questions for you. Because it's the Word of God that's powerful. Not my opinions, not just the life we live, unless God's in the center of it. Now, he said here, this man did wisely. How could he do more wisely than a child of God who say, we're supposed to have, hey, we've been redeemed. We've been washed through the blood of the Lamb. Don't we ask God about everything? We should. But then how in the world does he say this man is more wise than the children of light? Let me tell you why. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith in average man is not like the world puts at it and not like most Christians look at it. Faith is really trusting God, folks. See, faith is trusting for that which you don't see, but you believe because of the promises of God that they're true. The Bible teaches us this. You heard me say many times in Psalms 119, I think verse 105. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That simply says to me, and God brought that to my mind the other morning, that what it says to me simply, son, when you walk by faith, the Word is a lamp. That is, you see your feet right where it's at. You don't see what's on it, but you know it's solid ground because you notice the steps you take are by God's grace. But then when you travel a little bit, though it be slow or though it be fast, you heard me say before, then you can turn around and look at the path you came from, and God will shine a light on that to help you understand what he's doing. By the way, what I'm fixing to tell you, Romans 8:28 works through it all the time, but you've got to get beyond just the light to your path, to look back, light to your feet, to look back to the light of the lamp to your feet, to look back to the light of the path, to see how Romans 8:28 works. Most people say, you know, Romans 8:28 works for everything, and they think about something that's happened and just throw it in there. Sometimes, and it's a true statement, but you don't understand if that's all you use is a crutch. You got to use it where you see God shows you how it works. Man, that's the way it happened. I didn't see it. You won't see it. You won't see Romans 8:28 when it's happening. because you're walking by faith. But when he shows you the light to your path, boy, you're going to see Romans 8:28. It's a fulfill all the time where the glory of God's all around that thing. And so I go back and begin to think when I got saved, what Jesus is saying here, learn to use opportunities wisely. Every opportunity you have in life, use it wisely. But wait, the world uses opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, for selfish gain. Now, we learn some things from the world. Jesus says we can do that. But what we don't know is that their counsel is limited to their generation. All they see is what's selfish is what they can get themselves. What he's talking about here, it does not touch the eternal things. To have the mind of Christ is to look at things from God's perspective. And he looks at the earth from heaven's point of view. And believe me, it's different than from where we're looking towards heaven. What God sees from heaven, the point of view, many times is the overall picture. We only see where we're at. And so this is telling us something about faith. In Matthew 9, Jesus talked about the measure of our faith is the result of quality time spent with God in his word. I read what Moody said a number of years ago, and it fits right here. He said, I used to think that I should close my Bible and pray for faith. And then he said one day, I came to see that it was not just close my Bible to pray for faith. It was that it's in the study of the word of God that I was to get my faith. And Romans 10:17 proves that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that amazing? So as I have faith, what do you have? I just have faith. What the Bible says, if you have true Bible faith, it'll be by hearing, and hearing be by the word of God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a true statement. You can't define faith any better than that. Hearing what God has to say from the Bible, and then that is what we get. The faith, when we act upon that. A lot of folks hear the word of God, sometimes puffs them up, you say, but they don't act upon it. And acted upon it, there's no sign that they have any faith at all. And yet we show faith in this world all the time. So what we think determines who we are and what we are. And the more I know this, the more I know the Bible, the better I can know God personally, better I know his will, the better I know how to work for him. And God will use that to do the work. If you live in his word, he'll use us to do his work if you live in his word. Now, let me go back and quickly go over a few things. And that Romans 8:28 is in this, and I'll bring it up in the end. I'll show you. I'm going to go through it just as quick as I can. It's going to be, I don't know about it. It's just my own experience. I know my last Thursday morning between 4 and 4:30, I was going back for 53 years in my mind. And every time I'd get to a place, God would say, I was doing that for you. I did that for you. I tested you there. I knew what you would do, but you didn't. And every time you had a test, I moved you somewhere or another, and I didn't even realize it. I was just walking by faith. It's strange, isn't it? I know some of you say, well, that boy had all that. No, this is experience. When you experience what God does, nothing can take it away from you. Nothing can take it away from you. And you have to live for him years sometime before you see what has really happened in the past. How he brings things about to know the reality of Christ and reality of what God is doing. You see, money will not be used one day. When we get to heaven, we will not be using money. Money is what we use now that God allows us to have. And by the way, he tells in Deuteronomy, he gives us the wealth anyhow. We may work for it, but if he didn't give us all the greeds we need to work, we'd never get it. If he didn't give the mentality, if we didn't have the mentality we have here tonight, we wouldn't be in church. And if we'd had the mentality of some people, we couldn't even count money. We wouldn't know what it was if we didn't have the mentality. So God gives us everything that's needed. And when you work hard, put things to it, things find in place for that. But he said here about making friends with the mammon. He's talking about making friends in the sense that you use your, God is first. You know what is first if God is first? Souls. The unsaved. You're doing everything you can to try to reinvest what God says to do. It always amazes me that when God talks about what we do in him, he's first. He said, the amazing thing about it is this, you and I are in agreement here as a child of God. And all I'm asking is, you give 10%, and he said, if you give 10, I'll let you have the 90, and I'll bless the 90 and work you out. Isn't it an amazing thing? Someone asked me the other day the question, preacher, you're talking about the law of God. Is it wrong to commit adultery? Yes. Is it wrong to rob? Yes. Is it wrong to steal? Yes. And then they say, well, didn't God say that people robbed him when they didn't give the tithe? So by rights, preacher, listen to what he said. By rights, a person who don't tithe is just as guilty as somebody who commits adultery. We don't want to hear that today, though. That's law. God said himself the tithe was his. I don't care what the New Testament said. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at God, pure law, and what he does, thank God for his grace. If you get down to it, none of us will be saved today won't for God's grace. Not only the time we got saved, but if breaking the law made us lose salvation, we'd all have lost it. What I'm saying to you, aren't you glad that God fulfilled the law so the curse doesn't touch us? Now, to see how it works in our life then, money is neutral. How you use it can be good or bad. And that's what he's telling us here. This person he's talking about, the child of God, should live with eternity in mind, not temper. The Bible teaches us that eternal dividends are more important than temporary dividends. And yet God has said, as you work for me for the eternal dividends, I'll bless you if you obey me, even in giving. I'll bless you. Now, as I go back and think about what happened in my mind, the Lord, thinking when I got saved, I went back to the time that I got saved, and I think about the testing. I won't go into that. Some things took place at that time. It's hard for a religious person to get saved sitting in church for 3 years. But God really had to break down some walls, and he did. And boy, am I glad he did that. Some things I went through, and then I got saved. And then I began to look for a place to work, and I got out of high school. And I'm just amazed. I just prayed, Lord, I just need a good job. Everybody just thought, just need a good job. And then I wanted to go to school. And so the first thing I did was I got a good job, and I got a job where the company sent me to school. Amazing that. Wouldn't it be great today if you get a job and enjoy what you were doing? And then I began to realize that I needed something else. I needed a wife. Amazing to me. Some things happened in my life that disrupted completely. I won't get into that, but who I met. Look who I met. And at that time, we thought it was just, man, this is great. She met me. I met her. She thought I was good looking. I thought she was good looking. Man, it's good. We got married. And then all of a sudden, began to rise up and begin to have some tests. Then God touched my heart about preaching. And I fought it. I won't go through that. I told you before. I fought it, and yet I felt the call. And God reminded me, I was testing you. There's no way you can serve God unless you commit yourself. And I was testing you. And I gave you a helpmate. But the helpmate wasn't ready. So he had to get her ready before he got me ready. And he used her to turn the tables. She came back, went to why and said, and God, we moved into that era of being ordained. Happy now. Here I do what I want to do about preaching. I was speaking a lot out of every month. I had my job. I was going to school. What more could you ask for? And God tore it all to pieces. And we had to go through, and I went through a months of struggling. And I went to talk to some people, and I told you about that one place a pastor and I'd go down the woods and get around an old stump and pray. And I began to say, Lord, what? I don't understand this at all. But I surrendered and I prayed. You say, this is great in here. Now I'm preaching. Here I am. I'm working. I go to school. I'm going to graduate with a degree in electronics and got a job. Then we had 2 children. That's a great responsibility. And then all of a sudden, about middle of the 60s, he tore it all to pieces again. Couldn't sleep because he wanted me to go full time. And I began to pray about that. Barbara began to pray about it. And I told you about what we did. We went through it. And I told her what she said. By the way, I got to straighten that out. She told me I said something wrong the other night, and I got to tell the truth about it. When we left Baptist Church and came up on Durham Highway in Durham years ago, and I looked at her and I said, well, you know, we got to do it. God's called us to do it. And I made the statement the other night, which I knew better, but I said to her, well, you may have to eat old taters the rest of your life, but it should have been old raw taters. That's a Johnson County word. Amen. And that's when she said, no, if God gives them to them, I can cook them. So I left the raw out the other night. So that's the reason some of you didn't understand what I was talking about. Right? But anyhow, and so we made the decision. We're going to do it. Going to do it. Where are we going to go? Getting to pray about it. And what God is saying, see, the test came that you're in mean business to leave your job, leave what I had already given you, and forsake it to do where I was sending you. And we went to Dunn, we went here, we looked at a church in Ohio, had a little church already started. Dunn here didn't have one. And we came to Clayton. The story goes how we rose up and prayed about it, and finally God gave us a place to start a mission. Now, what I want you to understand, we'll quickly move beyond that, because then the test came again. We arranged to have a place to live, but that's it. Had no income. And tests came again. And really tests. And we prayed a lot. I'd like to left 2 or 4 times. God offered some things that was beyond my thinking. And I couldn't get the peace. And so what God has said, I test you again. I knew what you, but you need to know what you would do. And so Barbara said, I'll get a part-time job. Help out so I wouldn't have to stay full-time, making nothing hardly. And then we talked, went from that angle, and God helped us get started. And then we began to get a little bit income, at better where the church could do something. Barbara and I put a lot back, but amazing. Then we run 2 bond programs. How many here remember the first bond program? That'd be 2 or 3 in here, I know. Remember the first bond program we ran. And we got those 2 bond programs, then we got them paid off. We had 4 buildings over here, and we were debt free. One day I had a doctor knock on my door and show you. God reminded me the other night, when he puts you through something, he's got something for you if you're committed to God. Had a knock on my door at the office over there, 2 men from Temple Baptist Church came to see me. And said, Brother Ennis, he said, we need some help. There's a man, we have bonds in our church in Newbern, has a lot of bonds, and he's foreclosed on us, and they're going to have an auction just because they get it through the Johnson County Courthouse. And I said, oh, they said, can you help us? I said, I tell you what, I'll go down and meet with you. Now, keep in mind Romans 8:28, because these buildings here are here because of what happened. God's always work. When God is centered and you do something because of his glory rather than anything, and you see what I'm talking about when I talk about one of these lawyers I talk to. I'm showing you what Jesus said right here works if you have your mind on him and you find this thing that you learn to use the opportunities wisely, but God must always be first. And he said, you come down. I went down. I had about 15 people there that night. And they showed me what was happening. They hadn't paid a bond off in 17 years. They placed every bond, hadn't paid one off. I don't know how they went that long. Because now some of the people, they owed them twice what the bond was. And so I looked at it and said, it's the fact that people had tried. It's just the fact that they had tried and could not do it. And they just looked beyond. Because before they had pastors come in, they did everything they could not work it out. But I looked at it and I said, look, let me look at what you've got, and then I'll come back about a week. So I took everything they had. I looked at their finances and so forth. I looked what's coming in. I looked in a prayer, fairly prayed over it. And at this time, just thinking I'm going to do something to help someone, and behind it not even realizing God's going to do something for us. And he reminded me of that the other morning. And I began to look, and I went back. I met, called another meeting. I said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I want to show you, if you help out, what I'd like to do is this. I'd like to, computers, you just begin to do that. And a lady in the church could do computer. I said, I'd like for us to do this. I'd like to find every bond holder in this church and make a computer sheet on it. And what I'd like to let's do is ask them 3 questions. Number one, will you take just the principal? And I didn't realize then what God was fixing to do for this church. Would you just take the principal and not have to pay the interest on it? If so, we would appreciate that. Secondly, if you won't take the principal, would you take the principal plus the interest when the bond came due? I didn't have this kind of wisdom. Then third, if you won't take that, then we'll have to pay you the full amount of the bond from the time it started until this time. We divided it up, made the sheets up, made up. We had 10 people to take that and go to these bondholders, over 200 of them, bondholders. In about a month, they finally had one of them. We called another meeting. And we came back and saw, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there was thousands of dollars given back to the church when people said, look, just give me my principal. I didn't think I was going to get that. Amen. This man, God reminded me, that's exactly what's happening here, just a little different way. Thousands of dollars were raised off of that. And then we found out we had about a little over $200,000 less that had to be paid. And then I said this. They said, can we do it? I said, I'll tell you what. I've got a system worked out. But I want to do this if you give me authority. I'm not going to settle on the board because you'll find your people question everything. If God has given this to us, we'll go through it. If it don't work, you won't lose the property anyhow. If it does work, you'll save the property. I'm going to sit down. I'm glad I did because if I hadn't done that, we'd stop midway. And I'll tell you why. Because what happened was when we got into it, the first thing someone said, Well, you're not going to bless that. They had 10 missionaries, 10 or 12 missionaries. Because the first thing I did, so you're going to have to stop paying all these missionaries until you get out of debt. Well, if you quit supporting missionaries, God's not going to bless this place. Well, let's see. By the way, he's not going to bless it either if you lose it. And I told the folks that night, I said, listen, if this guy's got elder bankrupt on you, he's fixed to foreclose on you. When you foreclose, you're not going to have anything. Please listen to me. We'll write these missionaries a letter and tell them you're in financial bad shape right now, and when you get out of debt, you can take them back home. So we took everything down, and they said, preacher, we'll do it. They 100% said, we'll do it. So we took every bit of the expense, and we said, what came in? And we looked at the expense, what's needed, the light bill, the heat bill, and anything for repairs, and that was it. Everything else that came in would actually, according to the last 2 years, looked at and figured on, would go towards paying those bonds. We came up with a program in 3.5 years, they would be paid off. But they got to stick to it. The first thing they said, well, who's going to preach for us? I said, we'll get you a preacher. We'll get someone to come fill in. That time we had some in our church who would be glad to go down and fill in someone Sunday and Wednesday night. But it happened so, there was a brother who graduated from Tennessee Temple, heard what we were doing, and he came to me after we got really settled everything. He came to me and he made the same. He said, preacher, I'll go over and preach for him for nothing to get him out of debt. He was an independent preacher. Amazing thing. Well, we got started on that thing, and of course, it amazes, the commitment now is just beyond a few, and these few people, by the way, you'd be surprised the people at that church now don't even probably know. I don't know if any of those people's even there. I don't know if those people's even there now. They wouldn't even know what had happened. I don't know if it's written in the history or nothing else. But what happened then, they said, but preacher, we got this guy's foreclosing on us. Where's he at? He's in Newbern. He's got a lawyer. I said, give me his name. I called him, called his lawyer. And I said, I've been asked for the church to come help them. I've got a plan. I'd like to bring it to you, show it to you. I didn't go down and say, bless God, God told me to do this. I went down with facts. I went down with two years of history. That's what God said. Men of this world are wiser than the children of light. You can't talk to this world about spiritual things. They're foolish to them. You have to show them facts. And then you bring Christ in there. Amen? You tell them about Christ. And so I did. And the guy said, I set them up for you. He went down there, and of course, I don't know if it intimidates you to go in a big lawyer's office with that counseling room and the table and the carpet that thick. It does. It intimidated me. I'll tell you it did. But I remember going in. I had another fellow go with me from the church. And when we went in, the man in his lawyer sat here, and we sat across the table that. And he said, I began to show him what we were trying to do. And as he went through it, I wanted to come up with a system to do what they could do and offer that to the bondholders, and the bondholders would accept it. Then I wanted to come up with a system to show the people that it would work if you cut these things out. They had a radio bill over $2,000. Couldn't pay it. And so we had to deal with that, but I said, wait till we get the bond program out of the way. And so what happened, we began to deal with it. And we had a plan, we had a strategy to go through. When we got down there to the office, though, this lawyer, the guy didn't speak at all. He didn't say a word. I showed him the plan. When I explained it, here's what the lawyer said. Reverend? That made me feel, I'd rather him call me Charlie the way he said Reverend. He said, Reverend? He said, what makes you think your plan will work as good as anyone else's? There's others have tried it, and it didn't work. My client has given a left to, and he had. He had a bunch of bonds. He'd had them for years and could never get anything out of them. He had more than anybody else at this time. That's when he did the transaction, which probably any other person in the world would have done. It's not that he was that bad. He's just looking, I'm not going to get my money. I need to do what I need to do. And I said, well, why not try it? I mean, if you've been knowing all this time, what's another 3 months? I tell you what we'll do. This is the program. We'll send you every 3 months when bonds, we're going to pay them off every 3 months. Every 3 months, we'll send you a record, what came in, the bonds that were paid off, and then you'll see if it's working or not. That's a good business deal, isn't it? And the man didn't say anything. And then the lawyer said, what are you going to get out of it? That's the world of things. And I said, nothing. Nobody does anything for nothing. You will if you do it for God. And it won't be for nothing when the end results comes. I said, I have nothing to gain here. Well, anybody else would come up with something if it worked, would have to get. No, I have nothing to gain here. And when I looked at it, I said, I'll give you a record. And the man never said anything. He turned to the lawyer and said, preacher, he didn't call me reverend. He said, preacher, give me a few minutes with my lawyer. So we was out about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm leading to a point. You say you're 10, you hit. I'm leading to a point to show how this works, what Jesus said works. If you miss it, you miss the whole thing. If you think I'm bragging tonight, you're full of mud. You're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of mud, because that's not it. I'm not bragging. I'm showing you, God showed me how this works, which I could not understand and use my own life for it. And he came back in, and this man said this, Reverend, my client has agreed to let you try it, providing he gets his bond first. Well, he was about 60. And I said, no. And it floored him that I'd say that. Back for me, I said it. I said, no, sir, it's not fair. There's a number of 40 or 50 people before you got bonds, before you bought yours. We will go with number one, number two, number three, number four. I'll send you a record of what we got. I mean, listen, if they foreclose, it'd be no more than what happened before, right? Right? And what we'll do, be fair. If we're going to do this, let's be fair. And we'll go from there, and you'll get a record, and you'll see where you're coming to get your bonds paid off or not. And the lawyer said, looked to his client, and he said, what are you going to do? He said, that's fair business. I'll do it. Hey, first 3 months, we paid more than what had come to be paid. Next 3 months, less than 3.5 years, it was paid off. They were debt-free in 3 years. I have a plaque to prove in case you don't believe what I'm talking about. I went down, and my wife and I, then they burnt the note, and they were tickled to death that God had used that. And by the way, before they paid it complete, the brother was there. They put on a part-time salary so some of his needs would be met for preaching for him. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying that after that, and I've got a few, after that, I was one day in my office, and one morning I was again kind of talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I'd love to build a building. I'd already given Brother Neil the plans of this building, parts and pieces somewhere or another, to draw it out for us. And I said, Lord, you know what? There's people in that church down there just got their principal. Boy, it'd be nice if we could build this church and raise the money and people finance floor space and just give the principal. And then when they get their bond and the bond comes due, we pay them back just the principal. In my heart, I fluttered a little bit and I began to pray the next day and next day. And then all of a sudden, one day, I went down to see Jim White. Went down to see Jim White. Said, Carolyn, Sister Betty was going to be, I think we'll be accessing this. And I talked to Jim. I said, Jim, you may not understand, the Lord's kind of laid some on my heart. We like to build another building, but if we build, it's not going to be like the general, triangle building with straight and wings on the back. It's a new one that we want to do, and we want to raise some money. And I've been thinking about trying to make it as possible, because the Lord began to say, hey, there's lots of ways you can do that. You borrow money at the bank, pay it back. And I just paid a loan off that I had, just a small loan that we had. And I said, well, Lord, help me work it out. I went down to Jim. I said, Jim, how do you lend people money? He got all of his papers. He spent about an hour with me that day. Got all those papers out, what they did, what they signed, so forth, and all this. And I said, in other words, if we do this, do they do this? He said, yeah. And I said, then we keep this a record over here. And what people can come just make a payment to the church, yeah. And when they do that, they finance the bond. Yeah, we keep the bond until they pay it off, yeah. And then they get the bond. And when the bond comes due, we'll pay them for it. He said, yeah. And we came back, and I sat down and got all, and got Sister Betty, and we got all the form works out, and talked to Sister Carolyn. Carolyn was going to help with the financing of the thing and keep records and so forth of who paid in. We started that thing. Now, at that time, when we started that, some people wanted to just go ahead and borrow the money. at 7% at that time, just borrowed money. And we said, no, let's try this. Let's trust God. And you remember, I won't go through detail how we made a book in the back and had a big rally every once a month. So, and by the way, let me ask, how many in here now did take a bond that time? Anyone? You did take a bond. See, there's a few still here took bonds at that time. By the way, listen to me, folks. Listen to me. We're enjoying what those people sacrificed. See, I can't forget that. We're enjoying right now what they sacrificed. And by the way, what we are doing now, somewhere in the future, are going to enjoy what you were sacrificing. Because they won't remember what we did this year. They won't remember how we went through struggle to do the things on the radio and the things that done. No, many of you don't know much about that. It's no history written about that at all. And God began to show in our heart how it would work. We need 300,000, then we need 600,000, then we need 700,000. And we ended up with a 2-year program, setting it up where a person could take a bond, pay a little bit down, pay so much a month for 12 months, and that bond becomes theirs. And when it comes due, they would get their money back for the principal. That's how this building was built. Now hear me. The last thing that I'm closing tonight, how this works. We got a call one day from Jim White. He said, "Preacher, First Citizen Bank's going to start charging $750 a year just to handle bond money." I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Jim, you know that's not right. I need to talk to somebody." He said, "Well, you can go up the ladder." I said, "Who's the next one?" He told me in Smithfield, Mashing Gear. I made a little appointment, went down and talked to him. I said, "Listen, you're going to charge $750 a year. That's $9,000 in our bond program if it comes out or more. And you're not doing nothing but depositing our money. That's all you're doing." Well, they found out that a lot of churches are going default, and because they're falling on their money, they think since the First Citizen is a paying agent, that they back up anything that they don't make. And I said, "Wait a minute, First Citizen is not our paying agent." He says, "No." I said, "No, we pay from the church." And I told him how we did it. He said, "Well, let me call and see if I can get." I said, "Who else can I tell?" He said, "Frank Holden." I said, "Well, call him. I want to talk to him." I said, "Well, he probably won't talk to me anyhow. I'm a preacher." He said, "Oh, yeah, he'll talk to you." So he called. He sent me an appointment a month later. I went up there. Now, this office is a lot different than one down in New Bern. But I went up there, and when I went up there, I waited 30 minutes or so, and then in walks this man I didn't know, and it was a lawyer. He said, "Mr. Holden asked me to come talk to you. He's busy. He can't come today." I think to myself, "Well, I figure you weren't going to talk to me anyhow." But he sat down and said, "Reverend Issy," said, "I'd like to just know that this law has been made. There's no way we can change this law." I said, "Sir, could you tell me why you made this law?" And he told me again. He said, "We got some bad publicity because of some church that went under, and they thought that we had to make it up because we were the pen agent." I said, "You're not our pen agent." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because let me tell you what we do. The only thing we do here at this church, we have our own ladies look after this, and the only thing we do at this church is we put the money into your sinking fund at the bank. When it comes time for that bond to come due, we get a letter, we mail to that individual who's got that bond, and tell them when they get that bond comes due on that day, their principal and money is waiting here at the church in a check. They come by the church to get their money. Why not? God wants to get the glory, not First Citizen Bank. And therefore, when they come by, they give us their bond, we give them the check, and then that very day, I go down and take the bond and draw the money out of the sinking fund and put it right back in the checking account. You don't even handle. All you're doing is depositing our money." "Well, I ain't never heard of that." He said, "Well, let me get back with you." 3 weeks later, Jim called me and said, "Preacher, you're not going to pay that $750. We were the only church at that time did not have to pay that $750 a year. What am I saying? Because we did what we did for God to help that out. God gave it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if we had to pay the interest on this building and that building and the radio, we'd be paying $1.5 million in interest for a 12-year period. In all of these things, we don't have to pay it. Why? Because we only had to pay the principal. See what God? Romans 8:28 was working when I was in New Bern for the future. And God blessed us as a church to have the ability and give people to do what we ask other bond members to do in another church to help release the burden of their church to them. And he helped us that where we didn't have that burden at that time. Would you do it again? I don't know. I don't know. If I knew it had to be. What I'm saying to you, that what takes place there is Romans 8:28. When you let God be, when you do what God says do here at this time, that is, you take the advantages, learn to use opportunity wisely, and take advantage on eternal things rather than look at temporary things. You must not look at how this benefits me. It's what God's going to do for His kingdom that does it. And when that happens, He will bless you. I believe the test that God put my wife and I through, if we hadn't passed it, the church wouldn't have been here. And I don't believe we'd be blessed like we are right now, 52 years later and 45 years later here, had not we passed those tests. You say what you want to. I've lived it. I walk with the lamp to my feet in the light of God's word. And now I turn back and I look through a corridor of time, 53 years, and I can go back at points and see where God said exactly what He'd do. And though I walked by faith and had no idea how it would come out, except I believed God, God has brought it to pass, folks. And you think I'm going to worry today about something when I see what God's already done? That verse comes alive to me 53 years later when I see what God said. And Jesus said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of men. Now I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon, of the unrighteous, that when ye fail, they might receive you unto everlasting heaven. You know what this guy down in Hebron saw? He thought, it didn't put no cloud on anyone else. They did all they could do. I like what I see. The Lord says about Martha, Mary. If you go to Mark 14:18, you find that there Mary of Bethany was anointing the Lord's feet with the ornament in her hair and so forth. And they said, why don't you use this and sell it and give it to the poor and so forth? And Jesus said, what she's done, you're going to tell everywhere else. And I remember one thing he said in verse 8. He said, she has done what she could. And that's what you do. You do what you can for the Lord. Like, hey, we may deceive everybody else, but we can't deceive Him. Sooner or later, we'll reap the reward or we'll lose the consequence of losing if God is not where He ought to be. And by the way, that works for individuals. It works for nations. It works for nations. And that's the reason I'm sure what I'm seeing right now, unless this nation turns back to God, He'll do the same. He knows us nothing, just like He didn't know Israel nothing. But the saints of God in this nation can cause our nation to go back to God if they would stay biblically. He's not going to let us ruin our own course. He's not let us do our own thing in those ways that we do it, you know. So I say, learn to use opportunities wisely with integrity and honesty. Live with eternity in mind and realize the eternal dividends are more important than temporary. And yet, when you take care of the eternal things that you have to do and do what you can, as Jesus said about Mary, He will bless those other things. Father, thank You. Lord, I've lived it. I know. I believe You gave me a rehearsed history the other morning. I couldn't get up fast enough to start writing when I really saw what You meant here. You're not telling us to go back and live like those people live. Well, if I'd be like that and make friends with Mama, I just go back to the bar. You're not saying that. You're not saying to sin because they sin to try to just show friendship. You're talking about showing integrity. And that, Lord, I saw You change this man's mind before He said it won't work to it will work. And the guy said, I'm going to give you a try. You presented the facts. You've showed 2 years of work. You've done everything, your homework. I'm going to give you a try. Just let me know in 3 months what happened. Three more months. And Lord, he got his money and so did everybody else. As a matter of fact, he got his money plus the interest where many others just got the principal. Father, again, I don't know how. I know this is what I had to teach tonight. I don't know how it's going to help anybody. It may not. But I've done what I know to show and experience how God works in people's lives. And I thank You for that. I thank You what You've shown me. Maybe that's something I need to see myself to help me finish my days out as we serve the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.